afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 5th, 58th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Hey there.
Hey, Brian.
Having fun?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Already.
We'll find out what the cause of that is.
Yeah,
we, we got budget meeting tomorrow night with GPU update next week.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Kumbaya meeting last week about, well, the community members wondering why some of the things that law enforcement does is why they do it.
Yeah. Or, no, I thought that was a good meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this very afternoon comes from Rebecca West. You're going to love this one.
He's laughing already.
1941, quote, "It's sometimes very hard to tell the difference between history and the smell of skunk." Oh, my. So, well, first of the year, things are kind of happening. Are we officially out of that drought thing or not?
Well,
we're
definitely not out of it, although there's a sense of hope now. You know, you get the rain and you go, oh, okay. Look, if it keeps on raining, if we get enough rain in March and then April and then May, we'll be fine.
I love these guys in Southern California crying drought. And now they get rain and now they're saying flood. Come on.
Well, you know, they...
But that's the skeptic in me.
Well, you know, it's there. We don't really. I haven't heard anybody complaining about the rain around here. Everybody was very ready for it. So we like it. You know,
it was kind of fun to have summer in January, though, too.
It was wonderful. I mean, I never say no to a warm day. Are you kidding? I love it.
Oh, geez. So what's hot on your plate right now? Anything exciting or top of the pile?
Well, top of the pile. Tomorrow are the interactive community budget meetings. This is the second time we've done that, where we have basically a countywide meeting where each supervisor is in their own district. And this is done in conjunction with the Department of Education. So we're using schools throughout. And people will go to those schools. They will be able to see each other all across the county, and all of the five supervisors. I think it's a great avenue for communication.
What's the goal of it?
Well, the goal is to get input from the community. You know, later on, we're going to have budget hearings in May, and, you know, we'll come out with the budget then prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, right, basically at the end of June. But I think it's important, if people are concerned, for them to be involved. And I like it because if you come to these meetings where you'll go, you'll be on TV, basically. You'll be talking to the other supervisors and other county residents via TV, live TV. If you go, your voice will be recorded and your concerns will have to be addressed in the budget. In other words, if everybody in all five districts say, this is our number one priority, then that's what we've got to look at. So we're looking to the community for what Humboldt County citizens want from their local government and what they want to know also. People can ask questions of the CAO or the supervisors. And if they've got good ideas for how we're going to move forward with trying to cut down on budget expenditures.
So as you sit through, I was going to say suffer through, but I'll sit through one of these types of meetings, it's always curious to me, because you probably have, 10 to 20 per location?
Yeah, that's what we had. And it might be more this time because a lot of people didn't know about it last time, although I do note that there are quite a number of meetings that same night throughout the county.
So as you're going through this process and this attempt and to deal with the same base level questions, what mm-hmm. I would tend to think is that that is more indicative either of people not being able to find that information easily mm-hmm. in real easy snippets, or something is awry. I mean, mm-hmm. the really basic stuff that ties up a fair amount of time. What I would love to see is ideas.
That's just what we're looking
questions,
for. Yeah.
Ideas. If you got an idea, a way to do it better, that's what we're looking for. It kind of is a brainstorming session rather than a Q&A and how come there's not more money for the sheriffs in Southern Humboldt and how come Oryk doesn't have more public works attention being given? And I mean, the same stuff that is probably predictable.
No,
it's probably
but you know what?
A campaign issue, but...
No, you know what? You are absolutely right, and that is exactly what we're looking for, because we do want to cut $2 million, and so we want bright ideas. You know, if we go out there, maybe somebody who says, hey, have you ever thought about putting these two departments together? Have you ever thought about farming out this particular task? You know, so... You never know what comes out if you invite people to come forward, and that's what I like. And I have to tell you, the last time we did it, Brian, it was really kind of nice for the people who were there watching people from other parts of the county. These are people who maybe never come to the Board of Supervisor chambers because they're too far to drive, but they get to see how everybody else in the county feels about issues, or they get to go, oh, okay, that's why everybody's yelling and screaming about this. It's because in that community, that's important to them. We never thought of that.
Has there been one of these done that is just kind of like the basics of county budget
mm-hmm.
and just have Phil and his department?
Yep.
Sit there and people ask questions and just kind of go back and forth. How come this? How come that? Mm-hmm. Would there be any reason for that?
I like that idea. Okay. This will be...
There's your one. That's all you get.
Sorry. Wait, I got two today.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're just back here having more fun with Stella.
Talking about tweeting.
Good, good. Geez, that's all we need is, you know, just to have that umbilical cord just a little bit longer.
Well, let me just say that you can tweet your questions to the county during this live broadcast. I think it'll be fun.
I'll just send you a text.
yeah, please, whatever you want.
And keep smiling. It's got to be interesting trying to figure out how the best way to approach this project is. Yeah, the big meeting, nobody shows up. It's either the wrong time, too far to drive. It's life happens mm-hmm. kind of thing. The small ones, okay. Maybe that's a different approach, and you're kind of happy with 10 or 15 at each location, but you don't have that overwhelming feeling like there's a lot of people. Maybe that's okay. Do you sense that this is going to be the approach in the future about dealing with this, dealing with that, instead of having a public hearing, let's say, well, like the Planning Commission did initially in Redway with the motocross.
Yeah.
Where you get everybody there and everybody gets a chance to sense the tension and the discussions and can see what's going on instead of everybody in their safe little cubicle trying to figure out what's real and what isn't.
Well, I think both of them have value, to tell you the truth. I mean, for instance, you say if you have 10 or 15 in each district, that amounts to, at the low end, 50 people in the room at the supervisors, which is a fairly nice crowd. So I
that
say
would get your attention.
Yeah, that would definitely get your attention. And believe you me, when you're involved in this, you get that feeling that you're actually communicating across all of the districts. So that's one aspect of it. I like, also, we have to have the hearings. That's part of the process anyway. And we'll be hearing from all the department heads and everybody else for their, you know, if they have supplemental budget requests or those kind of things. So I think that, generally speaking, both of them have value. But this one I like because it's going out into the areas where people normally might not show up. Now, you know, here in Eureka, if you wouldn't mind, I'll just say where they are. For instance, in Eureka, they'll be right down the road
Franklin
on Myrtle
School.
Avenue at Humboldt County Office of Education.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist.
Okay.
It's still Franklin.
Then the Pacific Union School in Arcata, that's on James Road. In Hoopa, they're going to be at the Hoopa High School. In Scotia, at the Scotia Elementary School. And in Miranda, at the South Fork High School.
So Rex has to go back to elementary school?
Yes. Actually, he's going to Scotia.
Yeah.
He's going to Scotia. And what I like about the first district being in Scotia is that people who live in Fortuna won't have to come all the way down to Miranda to be in it. So there might be some people from the second district in the first district's room, but that's okay.
Oh, they're going to crash the party.
Yeah, they're going to crash the party.
Well, is there any attempt to sell to do this same approach with government or department heads? Let's say you got Public Works,
mm-hmm.
because almost everybody has Public Works.
Yeah.
And to do the same general concept with not Public Works for the county, but the department heads of each of the various jurisdictions throughout the county getting together at these same facilities and sharing so that not everybody's having to drive in and you got all this wasted time on the road, blah, blah. But everybody can show up and you can do a quick one-hour meeting, boom, and you're back instead of a day-long event for some of the folks in the hinterlands.
I love that. I mean, really, I think we need to be more accessible. At the same time, we need to not have to pay a fortune for it. So I think all of those ideas are good to bring forward and look at it as we look at, basically restructuring the county apparatus.
So you can do this, and it doesn't have to be public. This can be an intranet also. We're just within...
Yeah, you could, yeah,
because
that's what
the
Office of Education actually uses it for. Yeah, and we really appreciate the fact that we can use that interconnectedness that they have. And then it's connected to Access Humboldt, and so it's live on TV at the same time.
That last leg doesn't have to be there.
No.
So you could do some of these various functions instead of bringing everybody together.
Well, you know, it depends. You can certainly use it for networking, but you've got to be careful with the Brown Act of what you can do. There you go with the Brown Act again.
You know, I think that I understand why, but it seems like it becomes more problematic sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's frustrating.
Develop efficiencies, you know, and not the smoke-filled rooms and all that, you know, the back room deals, but just it just becomes very difficult, I would think, to be able to do certain things.
Well, myself and Supervisor Lovelace are on a budget subcommittee, and so we actually met with some department heads today talking about how we would like to revamp the budget book. And that was very helpful. You know, you can have that because there were just two of us there and we're talking about them and it's noticed and all of that kind of thing. But generally speaking, it is a little bit frustrating coming from any other background besides government to come in and say, oh, no, we can't meet and talk about this and solve it. And then, you know, we can't do that. We've got to do it all in the public.
I was afraid you were going to say it was a really invigorating meeting. KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell out of the 2nd District. Estelle, some of the different challenges I would think are self-induced by the county. You know, I'm not doing this quite right, or somebody taking exception to that. It's got to be kind of halfway exciting sometimes to be able to feel like you're dialed in and really getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting really done now?
Well, what we're getting really done is we're facing the reality that we have, in my case at least, inherited, and we're taking a good, strong look at how we can make things better in the county. I think that, generally speaking, there, you know, when things go along at the same pace for a long time, there's a certain amount of I wouldn't say stagnation, but people get set in their ways. We want to mix it up a little bit and challenge people to think outside the box. So I think we are accomplishing that. And even at a budget meeting, you could see a few excited thoughts. Oh, yeah, we could do that differently than we've been doing it for the last, you know, umpteen years. And, you know, we are forging ahead with the general plan update. Coming on Monday, we'll be back to the supervisors, so we'll be looking at that, and I'm very optimistic that we can move it forward.
Last week, Supervisor Lovelace was on and lamenting the cost of all the public commission, planning commission meetings, Valid?
I think it's a valid question. I do. We're talking about overextending our budget. We're talking about a general fund that's diminishing. We're going down from an ideal contingency fund of $6 million to, you know, forecast into 2015, $100,000. That's not good. So what do we want to spend our discretionary funding on, and how do we want to do it? So we're definitely a question in my mind, and I have said that already. You know, it's of concern to me if it's going to be an extra cost.
So is there a way to do, like we were talking about in the first half, one of those interactive wired things with the Planning Commission to avoid some of those costs?
That would probably cost more.
Would it?
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying one longer meeting instead of a bunch of small ones. Commissioners from each of the supervisorial districts in their various locations, so that not everybody's having to all come together in one spot, and punch out a series of these things, rather than having one or two elements per time and having to plow through the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been to any of those meetings. I've kind of monitored a couple of them, looked at them on the archive, and there's a lot of time spent on process. I was a bit disappointed in terms of how far they got, you know, in the time that they had allotted. But there was a lot about process and sending a letter to us and doing all that kind of thing. So generally speaking, would that be better with a different format for meetings? I don't know. However, you know, part of the process is giving the people their say, and they filled the room with people who took up an hour and a half, maybe more, of time giving their input before they ever got to talk.
Over and over and over and over. At what point are we beating a dead horse?
Well, I have to say, I felt very good about how we were moving along, you know, compared to all the other phases. We're at the final phase of the general plan update.
Let me restate the question then. At the current pace, at what point does the general plan then end up in front of the five of you so that then you get the rare opportunity to go through the whole document and have
Brian,
on each of the various elements.
It already was at that point. It's been at that point for over a year, and now suddenly went back to the Planning Commission for one element. My take on it was, let's stay on the course that we're on. We started on it. Let's go through it, and if something has to go back to the Planning Commission, so be it. But let's keep on this because we seem to be making progress. And I'm hopeful that come Monday when we take it back up again, we'll continue that progress and move forward, because I know that anybody who's got any kind of project would like to see some clarity here before too long. Wouldn't that be a nice thing?
Let's just kind of keep it back in 1980. We don't want to rock this boat too hard. Too quick.
And you know, we're going to have all the ordinances that we've got to go through. So, you know, it's a huge deal.
And so any estimated time of arrival?
Well, people have done that before. And
Six months, another year, year and a half? How long?
You know, I would love to have this done by the end of this year. I would love to have it done.
And I think that's possible.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Next year you can go, Estelle, on the last round, nobody paid off,
so I'm not even going to bother.
Are we betting on it this time? No.
Well, it was a six-pack of soda, but, you know, Jill, she's not here. Okay. Roger obviously isn't here. Jimmy's not here. I don't know if I did it with Cliff. No, it was Roger. It wasn't Cliff.
What did Roger say? It would be done in 2000.
No, actually, he was the one who thought the same way I did.
But yeah, it would go on forever.
We wagered a six-pack of soda anyway. Oh, well. Okay, yeah, old memories.
Yeah, can you imagine that's the way it goes, going through so many supervisors and everything? It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, hooray for the Brown Act. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the public meeting that was held last week about public safety, yeah, it's almost redundant, about community safety. Chief Mills was in on Monday, and he thought that it was a cathartic meeting. Was pretty impressed with who was there, who was being talked. He said it was a real cross-section of the community. Okay, good stuff. Do you think the regular person understands or grasps the law, and that some of the laws can be done here and handled locally with local ordinances, but most of it is going to be state and federal law? Was that part of the outcome, as a better understanding of the legal system?
I think it was a very valuable meeting. I think it was great to see all of the Eureka Police, Sheriff, Probation, everybody there, the DA, at the whole panoply of people who were involved with this issue of late night release. I think it was great for the community to hear the constraints that all those guys are working under and the challenges they face. And I think it was good for them to hear from the community what their concerns were. I got the feeling that by the end of it, people just wanted something to change. And at the beginning, it was stated that our policies are, the sheriff's policies are always under review. So there, you know, there's room for hope that something different could be done, that we could look at, we could work with the Department of Health and Human Services, we could work with the people like I don't know, local charities, who you name it, just that the community itself could maybe work with law enforcement to figure out a plan for this. But generally speaking, I thought it was cathartic to the extent that people were just going to be concerned as long as they didn't have a chance to voice their opinion and that they didn't have a chance to hear what law enforcement had to say. Otherwise, it was going to brew forever.
Can I ask a real stupid question about this?
There's no such thing.
Oh, no, I can come up with stupid questions. Don't do that. Jeez, that's such a low bar. If Father Fried hadn't been involved in this, does anybody care?
Well,
I mean, if the releases have been going on for years at nighttime and nothing has happened, who cares? Rather than having a single incident now, all of a sudden, we're starting to pay attention to that, and then hopefully maybe we can pay attention to other things before somebody gets
hurt? Well, you know, actually, I had heard about this issue before Father Fried, because I represent the 2nd District with some outlying areas, you know. In fact, the suspect in this case came from Redway, or was apprehended in Redway, and so there have been issues with people being picked up for whatever. They're driven 65 miles. They don't have any way to get back down, so they're roaming around the streets. So the issue is, if you let them out in the middle of the night, there's more of a chance that they can create mayhem, and they can also be victims themselves, as has happened. So that issue has come up in the past. People talked about being released and not knowing where to go or what to do. And I think that that's maybe where the community can help in all different kinds of ways. It's people, you know, people from Hoopa were talking about sending, you know, there was an elderly lady who would drive down into Eureka to pick people up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So it is an issue. It has been an issue. Father Fried, I think, it was his death, oh, I would say, contributed to a very important conversation in this community. We have got to get a hold on drug abuse. We've got to get a hold on these kind of, I mean, our streets are not safe at night, and that's really horrible. And so maybe that's the gift he gave us with his death, but it's a very, very heavy price to pay.
So what next? What's the outcome of this or upshot? Is everybody just going to kind of take it in, reflect on it, and then it'll surface later on in various ways?
Well, you know, it is. I think it's percolating. Just a couple of days ago, I heard on KINS John Sapper's community comment. Yeah. I thought it was very good, you know, really addressing. We have to address the methamphetamine problem in our community. I mean, I don't know if methamphetamine was involved in this, but some kind of drug like that was. And I think that we really need to address that. I'm involved with a group that went to the methamphetamine awareness meeting in Redway Acres, and we're looking at it. So we're all kind of working on it at this point, and that's good.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
Have fun with your meeting.
Jeez, now that we had such a down thing, but yeah.
Step at a time, step at a time. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.